The FAA turns loose ADS-B for nationwide deployment. Norway's Prime Minister wants the Joint Strike Fighter. And Osprey production is halted over possible vandalism. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 25th, 2008. In what may be his final major ribbon-cutting opportunity as the acting FAA administrator in a lame duck administration, Robert Sturgill Monday announced the agency has given the green light to nationwide deployment of Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, or ADS-B. The FAA says the system will reduce the risk of mid-air collisions and weather-related accidents, provide more efficient routes in adverse weather, and improve situational awareness for pilots. As Sturgill put it, quote, "The next generation of air travel has arrived. ADS-B is the backbone of the future of air traffic control. Next gen is real, and as of today, next gen is now," unquote. An executive order signed by President Bush November 18th accelerated the implementation of next gen. By 2013, 794 ground stations will provide ADS-B services everywhere there is radar coverage today, as well as in places that currently lack radar coverage, including the Gulf of Mexico and Alaska. The next key milestones for ADS-B will come in Juneau, Alaska, Louisville, Kentucky, the Gulf of Mexico, and Philadelphia, all scheduled for completion by the end of 2010 to allow controllers to use the system for surveillance or separation services. Last week, Norwegian Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg formally recommended to his country's parliament that Lockheed Martin's F-35 Lightning II be selected to fulfill Norway's future air combat requirements. The F-35, also known as the Joint Strike Fighter, was chosen over Sweden's Gripen based on its superior performance in intelligence and surveillance, counter-air, air interdict, and anti-surface warfare, according to a statement from Norway's defense ministry. Tom Burbage, Lockheed's F-35 program integration manager, is pleased. Quote, "The Lightning II will help ensure Norway's national security and also brings substantial opportunities for Norwegian industry," unquote. Lockheed says its three F-35 variants will be eligible to replace at least 13 types of aircraft for 11 nations initially, which it says will make the Lightning II the most cost-effective fighter program in history. The Boeing Helicopter Assembly Facility in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, shut down its production lines at 1 p.m. Friday after a misplaced plastic cap was found in the fuel line of a V-22 Osprey fuselage. Representative Joe Sestak, whose congressional district includes the Boeing plant, said he was informed of the incident by a Boeing executive. Sestak says the cap was found during an inspection that began after two dissimilar types of plastic caps couldn't be located at the end of a shift. Sestak was quoted by the Associated Press. Quote, "Boeing says they can't rule out that it was not willful, so therefore they are proceeding as if it were," unquote. Boeing spokesman John Williamson said production has been halted. Quote, "Until the Department of Defense completes their review of the situation and sets the criteria, they will not be accepting aircraft from us and we won't be producing any," unquote. This is not the first problem of this type at the plant. Last May, production lines were shut down at Ridley Park when employees discovered severed wiring on one CH-47 Chinook during a quality control inspection and a second with a suspicious washer. That incident was attributed to a disgruntled worker who recently admitted to that vandalism. Ohio's Warren County Board of Commissioners has been hustling to bring its local airport into compliance with FAA standards, but it may have lost a race with a recession. The Cincinnati Enquirer reports about $2.3 million has been spent in the last 2 years to clear trees and demolish buildings that lie within what should be the buffer zone for runway 119. Because of inattention to zoning laws over the years, development has encroached on the airport. Many of the buildings were reportedly built without permits. As a result, night landings became really a thrill, to quote local pilot and Airport Authority President Bill Simmons. The runway is equipped with four light precision approach path indicators, but Simmons notes, quote, "You wouldn't see the trees until you pick them up in your landing lights," unquote. The FAA is willing to reimburse the county up to 95% for the required improvements if they're completed on schedule. Simmons says about 70% of the work is complete. The airport has asked for another $1.9 million in the 2009 budget to finish the job, But the county, like most, faces intense budgetary pressures in the recession. Commissioners are expected late this month to approve a final 2009 budget calling for the smallest increase in spending in more than a decade. County Commissioner Pat South says, quote, "We hope the FAA will recognize that we are proactively going after this, but because of the circumstances of the economy, some things might take longer than we'd like," unquote. Up next on ANN, the International Space Station's plumbing problems continue. NASA tells us what another $2 billion could do. And SpaceX has been rattling windows in McGregor again. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 25th. I'm Paul Plack. Astronauts Shane Kimbrough and Steve Bowen completed a 6-hour, 7-minute spacewalk outside the International Space Station on Monday. It was the fourth and final spacewalk of mission STS-126. The two completed installation of trundle bearing assemblies on the starboard solar alpha rotary joint and cleaned and lubricated the port joint. They also got a video camera mounted on the station's port one truss. Monday's spacewalk was the fourth and final of STS-126, but NASA also announced the mission is being extended by a day to allow one more attempt to make the new water recovery system work properly. The portion of the system which is supposed to convert urine and sweat back into pure water for drinking has so far failed to complete a 4-hour cycle without an automatic shutdown. If the system can't be made to run correctly, it's going to need parts, and deployment of the station's first expanded 6-person crew planned for next summer may have to be delayed. President-elect Barack Obama put a scare into residents of Florida's Space Coast early on in his presidential campaign, when he talked about a 5-year delay in NASA's Constellation project to allow increased federal funding for education. By the end of the campaign, he'd done a 180 and promised an extra $2 billion to shorten the gap between retirement of the U.S. shuttle fleet and mission readiness for the Ares 1 rocket and Orion crew capsule. Now, while the Obama transition team faces a seemingly impossible balancing act between declining tax revenues on one side and the costs of new programs and industry bailouts on the other, NASA appears to be planning based on Obama's campaign promise. Florida Today quotes sources at NASA in reporting the extra money would allow an extra Ares 1 test flight and accelerate a crucial engine development project, enabling NASA to debut Constellation in early 2014. That would be a year ahead of schedule. That would help calm strategic concerns of many in Congress who are uncomfortable with relying on the Russians for all transportation of crews and supplies to the International Space Station, a $100 billion outpost paid for largely by the U.S. NASA Administrator Mike Griffin tells the paper, quote, "We're ready to tackle head-on the task of narrowing the gap between shuttle retirement and Ares Orion deployment if the newly elected nation's policymakers want us to do that," unquote. Among the mileposts NASA projects during an accelerated development program could be adding an Ares 1 high-altitude abort test in 2012, combined with a test of a 5-segment solid rocket booster in the first stage, and a quicker development pace for the J2X engine, which will power the second stage of the Ares 1. NASA could also start earlier procurement of long lead-time parts. At least one program supplier says it's ready for the fast track. ATK builds the primary rocket motor for the Orion escape system. Company VP and former astronaut Charlie Precourt notes, quote, "It's going to be funding dependent, but it's a reasonable approach," unquote. Funding dependent. Be prepared to hear that phrase a bunch during 2009. Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, aka SpaceX, is celebrating a successful ground test of the first stage of its Falcon 9 rocket on a massive test stand at the company's 300-acre facility in an industrial park in McGregor, Texas. The static test firing lasted 178 seconds, simulating the length of the burn required for an orbital insertion launch. Maximum thrust was 855,000 pounds. That will be equivalent to over 1 million pounds in the vacuum of space. All 9 engines fired for 160 seconds, then 2 engines were shut down to limit the acceleration, and the remaining 7 engines continued firing for 18 seconds more, as would occur in a typical climb to orbit. A significant milestone was demonstrating that the rocket can keep running with 2 engines shut down, providing fault tolerance which could salvage missions that might otherwise fail using systems without that redundant capability. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk said the test represented the highest hurdle to be cleared before an actual launch. Quote, "In the next few months, we will have the first Falcon 9 flight vehicle on its launch pad at Cape Canaveral, preparing for liftoff in 2009, unquote. One of the memorable storylines of 2009 is bound to be the number of spectacular general aviation accidents in which all occupants of the aircraft escaped unharmed. The latest is the spectacular crash landing of a Beech King Air A-100 in northern Manitoba about 9:45 p.m. Saturday. CTV reports the plane was on an air ambulance mission when fire broke out in the cockpit, forcing the pilot to put the plane down in dense brush. Two pilots, a nurse, a passenger, and her infant son walked away unharmed just moments before the aircraft exploded. Mike Young at the Joint Rescue Coordination Center said the pilot had no time to attempt to return to the airport after the fire broke out. The crash site was described as a rugged area about 500 kilometers north of Winnipeg. Police in the area started getting reports of a fireball erupting just above the trees. The survivors were found at 2:45 a.m. local time and taken to a nursing station, but had suffered only a few scrapes and bruises. Young credited the occupants' quick escape from the plane for the fortunate outcome. CTV Winnipeg reported the 10-month-old baby, who was the patient being transported, slept through the crash. Still ahead, San Antonio opens a major addition at an airport with a rich heritage. A Japanese millionaire sues to get his money back after he was bumped from a spaceflight. And a jet-packed daredevil crosses a Colorado canyon. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 25th. I'm Paul Plack. On Wednesday last week, the city of San Antonio had the official ribbon-cutting and opening ceremonies for a major addition to the terminal building at Stinson Municipal Airport. Care has been taken to preserve the legacy of the old terminal building by leaving much of the original structure intact. The expansion provides space for several new tenants, including Palo Alto College, which will be moving most of its aviation studies to the terminal. There are also improved weather and lounge areas for pilots and passengers, and the airport's cafe has quadrupled in size. Historic Stinson Airport is the second oldest continuously operating general aviation airport in the United States, and is the designated General Aviation Reliever Airport for San Antonio International. Recently, Stinson made news as a major operations hub for Hurricane Ike relief efforts. The airport was founded in 1915 when the Stinson School of Flying was started by siblings Marjorie, Catherine, and Eddie Stinson. They rented the 500-acre tract from the city of San Antonio for $5 a year, according to Stinson Airport manager Tim O'Krongley. After World War I, the airport became a regular stop for American, Braniff, and Eastern Airlines, and a new terminal building was built by the Works Progress Administration in 1936. During World War II, the U.S. Air Force conducted training there and constructed many buildings, some of which are still standing. Stinson currently boasts two flight schools, an air cargo operator, an aviation museum, and three fixed-based operators, and logs more than 150,000 operations a year. More expansion is planned in the future. The airport's website takes note of the heritage. Quote, "And of course, behind it all is the spirit of the Stinson family, three people who had a love of flying so strong, it continues to tower over San Antonio even today." Unquote. Arguments were presented in U.S. federal court Friday in a lawsuit brought against a space tourism broker by a Japanese millionaire, alleging the company bumped him from the flight unfairly. He's suing to get his money back. Entrepreneur Daisuke Enomoto says he paid Space Adventures $21 million for a flight aboard a Russian spacecraft to the International Space Station. But, he says, after 8 months of training, the company pressured him to become an investor, and when he refused, told him he couldn't fly because he had kidney stones. Space Adventures attorney John Villa counters the money is non-refundable and blames Enomoto for refusing the advice of doctors to treat the kidney stones aggressively, despite knowing they would disqualify him from flying. The Associated Press reports Enomoto trained in Moscow in 2006, but was bumped by Anusha Ansari after her family's investment firm agreed to partner with Space Adventures. The company has asked the judge to dismiss the suit. A decision is pending. Jetpacks, real ones that is, generally suffer from very short endurance. The longest flight of the original Bell rocket belt was just 26 seconds. A newer, lighter carbon fiber design using hydrogen peroxide rockets has upped that record to 33 seconds. But that was long enough to stage a spectacular demonstration last year on Monday Night Football. And a little after noon on Monday, it was long enough to propel pilot Eric Scott 1,500 feet across Colorado's Royal Gorge near Canyon City. The Denver Post reports that Scott works for JetPI in Denver. Unlike Bell's rocket belt, which was developed with military applications in mind, the JetPI jetpack is designed specifically for use in publicity stunts and demo flights. Scott obviously had great confidence in the machine. He flew it without a parachute. The Royal Gorge drops more than 1,100 feet to the Arkansas River below. And finally, as an impatient airline world waits for Boeing's post-strike timetable for delivery of the 787 Dreamliner, a professor with ties to the program is telling the world the plane will be worth the wait. Raul Ordonez is a University of Dayton Associate Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering. He spent 8 weeks this summer in the Boeing Welliver Fellowship Program. Boeing selects about 10 participants a year. In Ordonez's slightly less than independent assessment, quote, "It's a great airplane. For a customer who flies a lot, the Dreamliner will be fantastic. It will be a treat to fly in it," unquote. Ordonez is also enamored of the collaborative model used by Boeing to build the parts for the plane. Quote, "Very large groups of people who seem to be only loosely coordinated are nevertheless able to design and make complex products that are extremely reliable," unquote. It's not clear whether the professor's stated intent to infuse his students with elements of that same culture will extend to allowing students to postpone turning in their assignments 3 times. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell discusses the challenges facing aviation with James Coyne, president of the National Air Transportation Association. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.